feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source with Michael Russo. Thanks as always for tuning in and listening. I really appreciate it. If you're not an Athletic subscriber, please give us a try at theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. You can get in for a discount. It's been an exciting couple of weeks here at The Athletic as we have been sold. Nothing will change. New York Times will be our new owners when that sale goes through, but we will be run completely independently from the New York Times. Our two awesome co-founders that I still remember in 2017 going up their office. They had one of those elevators in San Francisco where you get in the elevator and you actually close the gate to close the door. And then I went up to the top floor. I walk up these stairs. I walk into one room where their entire HQ was, probably like seven people. We sit on this couch with a whiteboard in front of us, and they sort of lay out the plan of The Athletic. And I look back now and I think of that and how that we only had at that time about five hockey writers. I'm like, I honestly wonder where I got the courage to actually leave the Star Tribune for The Athletic. And it's just been the greatest, job that I've ever had. It's been everything that Adam and Alex, our co-founders, laid out as a plan for The Athletic has really come true. We have, it's crazy how many employees we have now, 500 or 600, something like 300 or 400 in editorial alone, editors and writers. And it's just been an incredible enterprise. And the fact that they kept us afloat and continuing to grow during a pandemic when, remember, there was basically no sports for several months, somehow we continued to survive and thrive. And, a lot of that is thanks to all of you. So, it's been an exciting couple weeks here at The Athletic, and obviously with last weekend's news that we were being sold. It's going to be one of those things where you probably won't notice much of a difference at all. Our editorial standards aren't changing, nothing like that. So stick with us and watch this continued success that we're having. And again, a lot of it is due to you. My guest today is Kaapo Kähkönen, the Wild goaltender. Cam Talbot goes down after the Winter Classic with the lower body injury. He's got, clearly got some sort of muscle strain. He's supposed to start skating on his own this week. Kaapo Kähkönen steps in there and has two huge victories in Boston and against Washington with his team severely shorthanded. This is a 25-year-old goaltender from Finland, former AHL Goalie of the Year. Last year set franchise records for wins by a rookie goaltender, shutouts by a rookie goaltender. Remember, he won 9 games in a row when Cam Talbot had COVID and also had an injury there. The injury happened in late January, and COVID obviously happened in February. He was 9-0 with a 1.44 goals against average, a 9.47 save percentage, and 2 shutouts. The 9-0 win streak set a rookie franchise record and was tied for the 5th longest in NHL history by a rookie. So he's done this before. He's gone in there and played really well. This is a really smart guy, as you're going to find out during this podcast. He's very interesting. He's a foodie. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a lot of cool stuff with Kaapo Kähkönen. So hopefully, as I try to do with all these Straight from the Source podcasts, is give you a little more into the personalities of players that you might not know about. And hopefully you'll learn a lot more about Kaapo Kähkönen in this podcast. It's been an interesting couple weeks for the Wild. Obviously, they hit a big time rut there with 5 games in a row where they were winless, including the Winter Classic, which was obviously very disappointing. They came on late, but too little too late. They really played poorly the first couple periods, and it really continued a streak of them playing poorly, but also a streak where they were losing players every single game, and a streak where they had this hodgepodge schedule where it was really difficult for this team to get traction. They played one game in 12 days and they go to Boston. That was like their second game in 19. They obviously play well there, and then they lose 2 more players in that game. Kirill Kaprizov with the upper body injury, and Jonas Brodin, who amazingly finished the game, but it's very clear that he broke something in his hand because he's going to miss what I'm told is probably 3 to 4 weeks here, which probably is better case scenario than what was originally feared, because there was a lot of talk even before that he could potentially miss the season between us. And it looks like they've gotten at least good news and that we're going to see Brodin again, because to me, as I've said to you for a while, I feel like he's like the one irreplaceable part in this lineup. He is just so good. The way that he plays calms things down, obviously turns Matt Dumba into a very different different player as well. And he's just such a huge, huge part of their blue line. So they might have lucked out there, as much as this is going to be tough to play without him for a little bit here. But this team goes into the Washington game after a huge win against Boston, where they worked so, so hard. They're without Kirill Kaprizov, they're without Joel Eriksson Ek. They're without Jonas Brodin. They're without Jared Spurgeon. They're without Cam Talbot. They're without Jordan Greenway. They're without Brandon Duhame. They're without Nick Bjugstad. And then on the morning of the game, Alex Goligoski tests positive for COVID. So Dakota Mermis, who had a workout after the morning skate, got bag skated, all of a sudden comes to the rink and finds out that he's playing in the game, and he played really, really well. So that was really neat. Now, I'm doing this podcast before practice here on Tuesday. The Wild were off Sunday and Monday after the Washington game. So we'll find out today at practice if they're going to get some guys back. My anticipation is Joel Eriksson Ek will definitely practice because he was taken off injured reserve over the weekend. We'll see. The big thing is, does Kirill Kaprizov practice? Or if there's a chance that he plays against the Anaheim Ducks on Friday, do they maybe give him today off, give him tomorrow off, and then practice him Thursday? We'll find out. But my gut says it's still a little too soon for Kaprizov. I do think, though, that they, what looked like a really bad injury, I think they're finding out that he really lucked out and it's not as bad as they had hoped. And one reason why I feel that way is I saw him in the press box. He looked jovial. I saw him after the morning skate against the Washington Capitals. He was in the hallway sitting on this cart talking to a couple of his Russian friends from the Washington Capitals. He was just wearing a towel, no sling, nothing like that. So hopefully that's good news that this is not a major, major injury in long term for Kirill Kaprizov, and that we can see him back much sooner than expected. And, you know, even if he doesn't play against Anaheim, maybe he'll play sooner rather than later. We'll find out today if Jordan Greenway is off COVID protocol, if Brandon Duhame is off COVID protocol. Bjugstad is going to miss 6 weeks, according to sources. Talbot will skate potentially this week. Jared Spurgeon, we'll see what's the next step in his progression. He's been skating on his own with Andy Ness. As I mentioned, Jonas Brodin is out. Eriksson Ek might practice up. The big one is Goligoski. My gut says, because he was put on protocol on Friday, that he won't be cleared till Thursday. So the question is, when does he get cleared? Can he skate on Thursday and play Friday against the Anaheim Ducks, assuming that he tests negative? Remember, we thought that Brodin was going to get off protocol as well, and then he tested positive the morning of the Winter Classic. So that didn't happen. But the team, really a couple impressive wins behind Kaapo Kähkönen's great, great goaltending. We talk in this podcast about his little heart attack-inducing play at the end of the Washington game, where he came out to basically the Mississippi River to play a puck, had to make a save on Tom Wilson in the left faceoff circle with Alex Ovechkin behind them. I mean, you couldn't make it up. Could you imagine if they'd worked so hard to come back in that game, get a tying goal with 38 seconds left by Matt Zuccarello, and then Kähkönen made that big a boo-boo to end the game. But luckily, they got away with it, and there was no chance that they were going to lose that game after they got into overtime. And you know, they had some great chances in overtime. Vikal made an incredible save on Ryan Hartman, who played 27 minutes that game. Crazy. I think that was the fifth highest ice time by a forward in franchise history. And then obviously in the shootout, not only does Kevin Fiala come through after getting benched for the first 8 minutes of the third period's first 8:57 of the third period, because he took three penalties in 4:27, but he scores in the shootout. And then Freddie Goudreau, who everybody sometimes wonders why the heck Dean trusts him so much. The reality is he trusts him because he does so much little things in games. He feels he's the ultimate teammate, and he's seen his skill before in the minors. Well, he puts him out there, a guy with seven regular season goals, and he goes out and gets the big goal there in the shootout to cinch the victory. But good game response by Kevin Fiala, who had the bad second period, just some stick penalties, obviously. Really ticked off Dean Evason, and even with nine guys out of the lineup, Dean Evason was willing to bench him for the first 8:57, but you know, continuing to show Kevin Fiala's maturity. He goes out there, he takes during a little loop, a little twirl during the TV timeout. He, you know, almost in an animated fashion, taps his teammates on a stick, fist bumps them, cheers from the bench. And then during the stoppage on the bench, he had a couple words with Dean Evason. Bally Sports North showed a great scene of it. And there, Dean Evason just listened to him, thought about it. Dean, after the game, said that Kevin said, "I'm going to support my teammates whether you play me or not. I understand what's going on. I screwed up." And Dean felt he should give him another chance. And then not only does Kevin Fiala go out there and continue to work hard like he always does, but he digs the puck out for the of the faceoff circle before the Zuccarello tying goal, and then obviously gets the big shootout deciding goal. So even though Freddie Goudreau's goal technically, quote, won the game for them, the shootout deciding goal goes to Kevin Fiala because Washington didn't score thanks to Kaapo Kähkönen. So so that's that on the Wild front. Couple things I would just wanted to bring to your attention. Nate Prosser retired today after 12 years in the National Hockey League. Seventh defenseman, as you know, come and go in this league like a gust of wind. It is, as Nate Prosser said in his goodbye, his classy retirement letter that I posted on Twitter, you know, he was always told it's much easier to get to the NHL, but it's much harder to stick there. Yet he, in that role, stuck for 12 years. Why? Because he was a great guy. It certainly wasn't because he was a great defenseman. He'll be the first to admit it. But it was because he was able to stick in a role that he never complained. He was always happy. And he was just content to be at the rink and be an NHLer. And that goes a long way in a locker room. And that's why whenever he scored a goal, you saw players just lose their minds with glee, because he's that much, that liked in a locker room. But the other reason is that you could sit him out of the lineup for a month, put him in, and he wouldn't miss a beat. He'd be no rust. He'd be the, play the same simple game, take hits, make a play, be competitive, trash talk, get into goal mouth scrums, and just be a, you know, a pretty reliable defensive player. So, you know, congratulations to Nate Prosser on a great career. Well, I'm excited to see what he does next. Does he go into coaching, maybe in colleges? Does he go into player development, maybe in the NHL? Or does he just be content to sort of live his life with his wife, Brittany, and their awesome four daughters? I did ask him if he was going to go for fifth time, try to get a son, and he told me no, because he knows he would get two more daughters, have probably twin daughters, and have six little girls running around. So I think he's quitting on that aspiration to go have a boy. But probably Chris and Muggs, their parents, Nate's parents, probably deserve a break. They have 11 grandkids, which is why I joked to Chris Prosser when I ran into him last night. I said, no wonder you're on so many golfing trips. So congratulations to Nate on a fine career. You can read the story in The Athletic. You can, if you are not an Athletic subscriber, which we want you to be, but you can also go to my Twitter account at Russo Hockey, and you can read his retirement letter and also an awesome YouTube video that his wife put together as a congratulations to him with the help of the Wild, very talented multimedia department. Also, if you want to meet Nate Prosser, well, Thursday night at 7, don't tell anybody, this is a secret, but my big surprise guest with Anthony LaPanta at Tuttle's at 7 p.m. in Hopkins might be number 39. So come on down there. Another really story that I'd like to point you to, if you didn't read it over the weekend, is I did a story, actually ran Monday, on Jack Jablonski, and 10 years after that tragic accident that paralyzed him from the chest down, what life has been like, excuse me, the last 10 years for Jabs. 2 days before Christmas, I went, and 1 week exactly before that December 30th, 2011, incident, the 10-year anniversary, I went to his house in Uptown, sat in the living room of a house that is just gorgeous, 102 years, and sat with Jabs for a couple hours, talked to his mom, his dad, his brother for this story, and just to portray what life has been like for Jack and the work that he has done to raise money for the Jack Jablonski Foundation, to raise money for spinal cord injury research. This is somebody that has incredible strength and is somebody that's got to deal with this for the rest of his life. And yet has taken the most positive attitude that you possibly can for an incident like this, knowing that, you know, that his life has been obviously turned upside down. And his goal is to stay in great shape so he could continue to be at the forefront of hopefully being tested for a lot of these new medical trials. And that his goal is to one day put on skates again. He works for the Los Angeles Kings. The story that I wrote is a really sweet story also about his brother Max and how much Max has really helped him along the path here the last 10 years since he was a 13-year-old seventh grader when his brother was put into a wheelchair. So I hope everybody reads that story. I know a lot of people have read a lot of Jack Jablonski stories, but they tried to make this one really different and bring a sweetness to it just because of the brotherhood that he has with his younger brother, Max, who's now 23. So hopefully everybody gives a read to that. Without further ado, just a real fun conversation with Kaapo Kähkönen, who will start Friday night against the Anaheim Ducks, God willing. As we know, in this COVID world, anything could change on a daily basis, but we expect to see Kaapo in net for the third straight game on Friday night against the Anaheim Ducks. Before we get to Kaapo, here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Happy to be joined by Kaapo Kähkönen. As I mentioned, we're coming to you from the GM's booth here at Tria Rink, and I was kind of disappointed. Kaapo, I was hoping that Billy Guerin was going to leave all his notes for me up here so I can dig in and try to learn some stuff about what's going on.
Yeah, the Tria Rinks, it looks a little different from up here. I don't think I ever sat on a chair here, and but yeah, good spot for
anybody. great vantage point. And lately you've been watching from a much better vantage point, which I'm sure you're very very delighted about. Let me ask you, I mean, like, what is it like when all of a sudden you find out? I mean, you're a guy that's been a number one your entire career. You've had to adjust as a young guy to being the number two here. But then you find out, all right, Cam's hurt. It's my net for a while. I mean, and you're going into a game in Boston, super shorthanded, a game against Washington, super shorthanded, and you're the guy that's got to get it done.
I think what I've learned, so far in my professional career is that no matter where you play, who you play against, it's that one game. Whether you're the so-called starter or the backup on a team, it's you go game by game, and it's you start that game. You're the starter. Nothing else matters, and you're gonna try to go out there and help the team win. And when you have success, it's a great feeling, and then the next game you try to do the same thing. And as boring as it sounds, I think that's really the only way to go about things.
Is there any different in the way that you prepare for a game that you know that you're not starting that night, or you go through the same preparation levels?
I pretty much do the same things every day. I'm not a guy that has a lot of rituals or actually not at all. I do nap on game days, and if I don't play, I might stay on the ice after a morning skate for a little longer, obviously get a little extra reps, but that's probably about it. Other than that, my preparation, I guess it's the same for every day.
Bring us back to a young Kaapo Kähkönen in Finland. How did you get started in hockey? And did you know right away you wanted to be a goaltender?
Probably outdoors, obviously. My dad took me skating when I was younger, and we would skate, me and my brother and my dad, and obviously all the kids in the neighborhood, and with friends. And then I joined a team. I want to say I was 6 years old, and when you're that young, the guys, everyone gets to be a goalie. Like there was a set of equipment that everybody got to use that wanted to try, and I tried once and it didn't go well, but I still for some reason wanted to go try again. And I was 10 years old when I last time was a skater. So ever since that, I've been a goalie. So, and I don't know, it was something about being such a huge impact on the result in a game when you're the goalie. It's I guess you could call it pressure. I don't see it that way, but it's just such a huge part of that that game being a goalie. So I think that's kind of that was something that I really liked and enjoyed.
Right. I've never actually asked you this, but so the Wild, you know, in 2010 played in Helsinki, your hometown. They were there for a week. I got to go with them. It was an awesome, awesome trip. First time and only time that I've ever been in Finland. Did you go to any of those games? Did you see them at practices, things like that?
Yeah, I remember that game. I was in that game. I want to say maybe with my dad. I can't quite remember. But I remember I was in that game, and obviously Koivu was a legend still in Finland, and that was I want to say there was other, well, Backstrom obviously, yep. And then
Granlund wasn't on the team yet, but he was there.
Yeah. But there might have been someone else too. I can't remember.
Yeah,
but
maybe I'm trying to remember. Yeah. Mietinen maybe on that team, probably Antti Mietinen.
Yeah. Anyways, a couple of Finns playing and. In Helsinki, you know, there's an NHL game. It's obviously a huge, huge deal, and everyone was excited about that. And for sure, I had a good time.
I remember the arena that the Wild played in actually reminds me a lot like this one. They actually had to get into an elevator to go to the practice rink. Which rink is that?
It's Hartwall Arena. Yeah. That's the Jokerit rink. I know that rink well. In juniors we used to play downstairs below at the practice rink below.
Right. In the rock.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really neat.
And then obviously I also played upstairs in a main rink. The World Juniors were there when we won that tournament, and there was a funny story. They retired, I wanna say, Solani's number on the national team before one of our games. So we'd do the warm ups down at the practice rink. We took the elevator down to do the pre-game warm-ups,
uh-huh.
And then play the game upstairs on the main arena.
That's so awesome. And the Wild had an exhibition game up in Tampere, which is really neat. Long bus ride up there. Clutterbuck, I remember, had a hat trick that game. It was a great trip. It was fun. Remember, stayed at the Crown Plaza and all that stuff. It was pretty cool. Capo, let me ask you. So the other night, you know, it's so funny. I was on the radio before the game. And I said, you know, Capo's playing well when he challenges shooters. And you challenged a shooter like I've never seen a shooter challenged before. You skated out all the way to the blue line, put the puck on Tom Wilson's stick, and with Ovechkin behind you make the save from the left faceoff circle. The picture will probably go down in legend of Minnesota Wild lore. When you were doing that, like, first, what are you thinking when you're making the play, and two, what are you thinking? Like, it had to be an oh shit moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of want to take that back a little bit. I don't usually do crazy stuff like that, and I don't want to do stuff like that, but what I saw was, you know, Ovechkin skating as hard as he could, and I felt for a second that he might be first on that puck.
Uh-huh.
And I knew it was only a few seconds left, so I wanted to get out and clear that puck out of the zone, which apparently I think I did. That's what the guy said. It was over the line. So anyways, if that would have been a goal, that would have been, we could have challenged that as an offside. But yeah, so it ends up going to, I don't know, their player's stick, obviously. And then I was like, now I'm in one kind of. So, you know, I just...
you got in your butterfly.
I just try to be, you know, between the puck and the net. And I mean, I guess it worked. But yeah, that's what the guy said on the bench, that it did cross the line. So it would have been offside. But I mean, yeah, one of those moments that... you know, maybe I should just stay back.
Foligno was great after the game. He goes, I don't know why he went backhand and not forehand. it was a great one. Well, it was a great save, nonetheless. And you made it absolutely fun. And the game before in Boston, you challenged Marchand and absolutely destroyed his breakaway with the awesome poke check. I mean, honestly, I don't know. Like, are those the type of things that you work on as a goaltender? Because there's nothing that makes like fans like excited more than that breakaway always being ruined by a poke check. Dubnyk used to do it all the time here, and the fans used to go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's something that I try to do every time, but there's certainly moments where it is a good tool to have to able to execute. And I feel that a long stick poke check is a little more risky. I tend to, you know, poke with just the stick in my hand, like I regularly hold it, you know, one mm-hmm. on the paddle there, like you know, it's just the little short pokes near the, when the puck's near the net. I think that's maybe a little safer way to do it. But yeah, it's you know, having a good stick, I think, definitely helps in a lot of situations.
We're sitting in the home rink of your sister, actually, which is pretty awesome. She plays at Hamlin, as you mentioned. They're on a little bit of break right now. But how cool is that to have for both of you to have each other in town, and have you gotten to come out here and watch her play?
It's great. The thing is, I haven't got to see her play yet, just because our schedule has been so busy and. Now that, you know, they're having a little break and they had their Christmas break, which was, that was great. Obviously, you know, she stayed at our place and, you know, hang out, with me and my girlfriend during the whole Christmas. And, it's just nice to have family in town. And, you know, also, like, I feel getting the opportunity to, have her over at our games, you know, in to watch NHL hockey and the Winter Classic was a cool experience for her, for sure. And just stuff like that, I think is really, really cool when you're used to live whatever so far away from each other, you know, that she literally plays hockey in the same rink that we practice on. So it is really cool.
And did she get to go on the ice during family day? And did you have other family in town too?
Yeah, no, it's just her and my girlfriend. And yeah, they both came out and skated a little bit and enjoyed that as well. Yeah.
So you had no other family in town, right?
No,
because I was staying at. So did you have buddies or anything? Because I was staying at the Marriott, and I'm in the elevator and I wasn't paying attention. All of a sudden, the floor stops and three guys get out wearing Kakanen jerseys. So not related?
Nope. No, okay. No family at all. No,
okay, it was, that's cool. Been, there you go.
Well, yeah. Good to know that somebody's buying my jersey, I guess.
Yeah. It was pretty neat. It was, I'm like, that had to be his dad, his brother. Like it was like sort of like three generations of people. So I just figured I somehow dropped the ball and didn't introduce myself to your family. You mentioned that your sister coming over for Christmas. We all watch you on Instagram. I mean, you are a foodie. How did that all start, and how big are you into it? Because it looks like you make the most amazing meals.
Yeah, I think it's something that probably comes from my parents, especially. I think my dad, he really loves cooking, and he's really into it. Food and wine also. He's traveled a lot and you know, in Europe, especially, and I think in US as well. So he's got a lot of great recipes. I think he's always made some great food at home. And at some point, I just kind of felt that I liked that, and I wanted to do that as well. And to start cooking, and obviously, you know, you got to start from something, you know, pretty simple. And eventually, you know, it's became almost like a hobby of mine. I would consider it, and yeah, it's just something that I really enjoy doing. Going to a grocery store and see what they have available, or like a little specialty market or whatever it would be, like a seafood shop or whatever, and pick up something and think like a couple other things to make with it. And yeah, that's probably the story behind it.
What is your specialty that you make?
Pasta for sure. That was the thing. When COVID started, I wanted to learn to do something and something new, and I bought a pasta machine. And so ever since that, I've basically made my own pasta. I don't even eat pasta on the road anymore, just because I don't think it's as good as the one that you make yourself. And yeah, I think I'm pretty big into that. And then making a sauce to go with that or whatever. It's, I think that's, one of my specialties.
So somebody asked me if, you bake, if you make, I'm going to mispronounce this, pula or nisu.
Yeah. It's like a cinnamon bun, I guess would be a translation, but, yeah, no, not a big baker. I, that's something I really don't know how to do, but, luckily my sister, she can bake. So we had a good team, in the kitchen over Christmas. Me making the meals and her baking. So
that's awesome. Jennifer asks, what food do you miss most from home?
I don't miss a lot. It's, I think food I think the best food is what you have available where you're at, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And what's in season. I don't think there's one thing that I really miss. I like eating local stuff most like natural, like organic, if you can get whatever that would be, vegetables or fish or meat, and then just built the meals around those things. And so I don't think there's one thing I really, really miss.
Do you have a favorite American style food?
Well, there's always time and space for a good burger or some wings. Yeah. I like the American steakhouse culture. Like some of the steakhouse restaurants we go on the road, or even here in Minnesota, are great. There's steak back home, but I don't think there's restaurants like that. At least not as many, and it's not as big and back home. And so that's something I really enjoy.
Have you been to Baltimore yet? It's at the Roseville Mall. It's Baldamar. Outstanding.
Okay. Great steak I gotta place. Go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a lot of restaurants in Twin Cities. I feel it's just because, especially last year, everything was obviously closed.
Yeah.
You didn't want to go anywhere. And,
yep.
And even this year, now that we've been traveling on the road, we got to eat outside and, a little bit, and until they took that away again.
Yeah, but, right.
We'll see how that's going to go in the near future.
Yeah, and you guys, heck, right now you guys got to be super careful. Last question on food, and I'm lost the question, but somebody asked Duham. I don't think it was Brandon. I think it was Duham's burner account. Asked, have you found any like good Finnish food or Finnish restaurants in the Twin Cities?
I haven't really looked. I think that's partly. The reason would be kind of like I just said, that I like to enjoy the whatever you have available here. And then, when you go back home, you kind of remember, oh, this is so good. It's just, I kind of missed this a little bit maybe. But I also, when I come back here for training camp, I realize, oh, there's, this and that I don't have back home. And so, yeah, not really.
Yeah. What was the Winter Classic experience like for you, Capo? I mean, you were sitting on a stool for two periods that was unheated, if I'm not wrong, where all your teammates got to sit on a bench that was super heated. What was that whole experience like? And then to find out in the second period, like after being ice cold for two periods, that you're going into the game.
Yeah, that was, I wasn't really, I mean, I saw the heated bench at that practice the day before and family skate, so I was excited to I knew it was going to be cold, and so I felt that's going to be a nice bench to sit at on a game. And then I skate over at the start of the game, and they say there's that bar stool for you to sit on. I'm like, what? I'm the only guy who's not moving at all game. So I was freezing, that especially that first period. I was really cold. Second period, I brought a couple heat packs with me. I sat on one and then stuffed one into my equipment in my pants and chest protector, and so it was a little warmer. But and then obviously going, you never want to see your teammate get hurt, but I'm not gonna lie, it was a really cool experience to get to go on the ice for sure.
Yeah.
It's a game that might never happen in your career again. And I was freezing, but I just try to go out there and enjoy and just try to stop everything that comes my way, and hopefully we can at least come back and have a challenge for the win, which I think we did at the third. We did a really good job. We came close, but just couldn't tie the game up. For sure, experience I'll always gonna remember.
Yeah. What was the sight lines like you're looking across the rink, for those of us have never been in a goalie net, I can't imagine it's easy when all of a sudden you just see a huge baseball stadium behind what you're looking at.
Yeah, it was a little different, and I think I had a, I got a good advice from Freddie and Talbs before, actually at that practice, that in an environment like that, you really want to focus on having your eyes down in the puck and on the ice level,
right,
and not looking up, because then once you look up too much, your balance might be a little off. You might be standing a little too much on your heels, and then it's hard for you to move. So I think that was a good little tip to, you know, focus on, to really stay under your toes and have right. your head down and focus on tracking the puck. Yeah.
Final few minutes with Kaapo Kähkönen. Let's go to just some Twitter questions. Kate asks, which goalie did you model yourself after as a kid?
I don't think there's one goalie. I really like watching all the Finnish goalies when I was younger, playing in the NHL. You know, all the Kiprusoff, Rinnaris, Rask, Backstrom, you know, you name it. Nitomaki was good for a while in the NHL. And all of those guys, I think anytime a Finn had success in the NHL, it kind of made me feel like, okay, like that's, you know, it's something that's yep. possible to achieve, you know, to play in the NHL. And I think a lot of guys, you know, there's different styles to play as a goalie, and everyone's a little different. You know, some guys are taller, some guys are, you know, shorter or whatever. But I think there's a lot, everyone has something that they do really well. And I just try to pick on some things that I saw someone do well yeah. and try it in practice maybe or what have you. And right. Yeah.
Did you get to know Backstrom at all in Finland? I mean, he's played for your HIFK and he's from your hometown.
No, actually, no. I met him. I met him once, I want to say, in Mikko's 1000 game a couple of years ago. He was here then, I met him, but I don't know him other than that.
He's a tremendous guy, and actually he was a podcast on here last season. Yeah. He's just a beauty, winningest goalie in Wild history as well. Tim asks a good question. You're known before you got to North America for your goalie goals. How hard is it to resist when that net is empty to go for it? You almost scored in Florida, right?
Yeah, that was my second game. No, it's for sure something I'm always going to try if there is a chance. And I mean, no different than for the players. I think our coaching staff, you know, has gave a green light to go for the empty net from our own zone, especially if we have a 2-goal lead. It's apparently analytically it's something that you're supposed to do. So I mean, for sure, I'm gonna try. Not gonna, you know, if there's no lane or no, if it's not there, it's not worth it. But if there is a chance, I'll go for it for sure.
Question from Dean Evison. I assume it's not the real Dean Evison. Will you break out those brown and waffle the brown pads and the waffle blocker again?
Again this year?
Yeah.
Good question.
I'm not, right?
I'm not sure. Yeah, Tony must have them. I don't know where they went. They might be on eBay somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, that's a good question. I don't really know. I don't know if we're playing with that jersey again.
I know you are twice more this season. You're in net, yeah.
Then I would guess on those games, I think we're going to wear that equipment. Yeah. So maybe on those games.
What made you decide that? Because it looked sharp.
What's that?
What made you decide to design, like, get those types of?
So I just wanted that retro look, that brown, you know, leather color on them, and that waffle board was a cool little detail, I think, and so I asked Juan to make me a few mock-ups that how they could look, and then I picked one, and we figured out the little details on that, and they delivered. They created a great set of equipment, and then also the stick from Warrior, I think, complemented that those really well.
Yeah. Just final couple questions. One person did ask, you know, how hard was it last summer, or did it not bother you when you were exposed in the expansion draft?
I wasn't thinking of it at all.
Right.
No, it was something that I saw that I was, you know, they could have picked me, but also the second I did see that, I realized, well, it has nothing to do with me. Like, it's not my call. It's there's nothing I can do about it. So just might as well not think about it. And somebody will call me probably if they're going to pick me up. And if nobody's calling me, great. I get to stay here, which I wanted at first. Like, I obviously wanted to stay, but also, like, there's nothing I could have really done at that time. So, it did not bother me at all.
Yep. How, you know, like, and then the Wild, and then they draft a goalie in the first round. I mean, does that at all, same thing, ever, you know, bother you, or you just, again, can't worry about stuff like that?
No.
Okay.
No,
I totally understand. Trying to see a couple more questions here. What is the system like in a normal situation when Cam's starting or Cam is in the lineup too and you're in the lineup? Like, how do you find out? When do you find out when you're the number one? Like, how's that mechanism work?
I guess you usually the day before or the night before, what depends on we're practicing. Usually they let us know who's playing. And I think it's good because then, kind of like I said earlier, you have a chance to, if you're not playing, you have a chance to maybe work out after practice or stay a little longer on the ice and
right.
do a little extra work to, you know, keep yourself sharp. And
makes sense.
You know,
two more for you. Mike asks, his wife and he are going to Finland in 2023. What are some places that they have to check out? And any must got to go to this hockey game in Finland?
What time of the year?
He's going in March.
March. Yeah, for sure. I think, I mean, Helsinki is obviously probably where they're going to be flying to. A lot of stuff going on there. Two teams, one in the Finnish league, one in the KHL, the Russian league, and both rinks are cool. The IFK rink, the Liga rink, is really old, but it has a cool atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's getting closer to spring, so it's a little more, you know, there's a little more daylight, there's a little more sun, the weather is maybe getting a little better, so I think anything outdoors will probably be a good idea. And then obviously a Finnish sauna somewhere is something that for sure they must go experience.
Right. Couple more for you. Wanted to ask, let's see, who do you hate shooting on you in practice?
Who do I hate shooting on me in practice? Sturm, for sure.
Sturm?
His shots are all over the map sometimes. I don't think he has a clue where he's shooting a lot of the time. So, it's hard to read when the player doesn't know where he's going at. But, no, he's a good player, and he's got a hard shot. So, he's probably the one.
Dubnyk used to be, you know, you'd see him in the locker room and he'd have his shirt off and he'd have a big welt right here in the collarbone. I'm like, who got you? He goes, Dumba. You know, like, it was always Dumba or Greenway. It was always one of those two. Yeah. So, all right, two last ones for you. One is a really funny one. Katie asks, did you get a recent remodel of your kitchen in your house? And she wanted to know, like, any cool new equipment that you got.
And
finally, by the way, the Zamboni has finally stopped, so I can stop screaming at you.
Yeah, that was painful.
Yeah, I know.
We got our kitchen done last summer, and it turned out really great. It's we talked about, I like to cook, so now it's there's a really good setup there. For it has a lot of cool little details there. I did do an Instagram post of it, and there's a few pictures too, you know, that probably gonna you can go check out and see kind of what I mean. And there's a little I think the coolest thing that he has is like this so-called breakfast closet, I think they call it, the kitchen companies nowadays, I don't know, that the door opens and then this board slides out of it, and then he has all your coffee makers and toasters and what have you in that little closet. And they're kind of out of the, you know you can't see them, so it makes the kitchen look little cleaner and little
that's awesome,
you know, little sharper. So I think that's a little cool little detail there.
So are you a coffeeaholic like me? Are you, do you love your coffee?
Yeah, I enjoy my coffee. Yeah. Usually one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And maybe an espresso after a nice dinner sometimes as
that's
well.
That's cool. So, yeah. Really neat. Last question for you from Austin asks, when you were in the AHL, the year that COVID really interrupted the season, you were the best goalie in the league. You had the best goal scorer in Mayhew, best point scorer in Sam Annis, best defenseman in Brandon Minnell. And he just wants to know how disappointing it was for that season to be interrupted and if you think that you could have run the table in the AHL.
Yeah, for sure. That was really disappointing. And, getting to play on a team like that with so many good players and having so much success that we had that year, I think it's really disappointing that, you never get to experience that and play those playoffs and see, where I for sure personally think we could have gone all the way and won the cup that year. And it was really disappointing, but I mean, it was what it was. And nothing you could do about it.
Yeah. Well, hey, Capo, really appreciate you giving me time today, especially after practice and in the middle of you being the number one for this team right now. I think it's awesome that the state of hockey gets to learn more about you as well and gets to root you on. So thanks for joining us, Capo.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks. Anytime. That is Capo Kähkönen, and here's a word from one of our sponsors. So my thanks to Capo Kähkönen for joining me today on Straight from the Source. Big week for the Wild ahead because they actually play games. They play the Boston Bruins and the Washington Capitals and, of course, have two games postponed in between there. They play the Anaheim Ducks on Friday night. Then they go, and this will be tough, they go to Denver, have a Martin Luther King 1 p.m. game local time, 2 p.m. game here in the Twin Cities on Monday afternoon. The Colorado Avalanche are absolutely rolling right now. Not only are they rolling, but it's like it doesn't matter how far they're back in a game. They just always seem to come back and win. McCarr's playing out of his mind. Rantanen's playing out of his mind. McKinnon's playing out of his mind. Kemper's playing out of his mind. That team is freaking good. And the Wild will have to play them. Then they will have 3 days off, and then they have a home-and-home against the Chicago Blackhawks, which includes Hockey Day Minnesota on the 22nd. So that'll be really cool to actually have some games here, COVID willing. We'll see. So that'll be really neat. If you enjoyed this podcast, we have podcasts throughout our network, just so many good ones. This week, 2018 U.S. Olympian and former NHLer Jim Slater joins Craig Custance and Sean Gentile on the Athletic Hockey Show USA. Chris Johnston from TSN and the Toronto Star, one of the great insiders out there, is James Myrtles and Jonas Siegels. I almost said Jonas Brodin. Jonas Siegels' guest this week on Leaf Report, so make sure you listen to that. Thanks for listening to Straight from the Source. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform and don't forget to leave a rating and review. And right now, you can get an annual subscription to The Athletic for just $3.99 a month when you visit theathletic.com/straight from the source. Talk to you next week, everybody.